I don't know that I could have picked a better song to start out our journey than the one he picked tonight. I'm going to move this over a little bit. I heard John sing that song maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago with the choir. And as I listened to that song, it really was really speaking to my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, God. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. And it started to play through my mind, and then Brother Paul comes to me, and he says, I want you to take January and February and teach on Wednesday nights. And for those of you who know this, I've been in full-time evangelism now for about 20 years. And 2 years ago, I came on staff here. And I love to preach. Nothing terrifies me more than preaching at home. See, you mess up out there, you're gone in 4 days. Who cares? You know, you mess up at home, that's a whole other story. And then, you know, I wouldn't mind that so much if he asked me to follow him on Wednesday nights, but he asked me to follow Terry, and I didn't really want to do that because I was here while Terry was teaching. And so there's a tremendous amount of pressure on me this next 7 weeks to share with you. But as I prayed through what the Lord would have me to share, my first thought was, well, I'm going to teach on this because I got this done, and I'm going to teach maybe on this, or I'll just kind of teach on this. And all of a sudden it was like, if you could teach on one thing that you know no one's been teaching on around here lately, what would you teach on? And I immediately went back to teaching about what I think I know the most about, and that's faith. When you're in full-time evangelism for 20 years and you're relying on God to provide every need in your life, then you preach on what you know best, and that's faith. And then it brought me back, and I keep promising I'm going to do this one day, about my own personal testimony. You know, 23 years ago, I'm living in Connecticut, and I'm a gambler, and I'm a hustler. I'm a nice guy, but I'm really lost, really lost. And a group of 80 high school kids come on a mission trip to Connecticut, and I get saved, and 10 days after I get saved, I get on an airplane, I fly to Tulsa, I knock on the door of this church in Tulsa, and I said, you all told me how to get saved, and then you left. Now what do I do? You know, and I'm going to ask you if someone would shut that back door for me. And so this issue of faith has always been a big deal to me because from 23 years until today, all I know is how to walk with God by faith. And the first thing that God does in my own journey with him is he takes me through this walk of faith the very first few years. And he puts me with people who were tremendous people of faith. And I'm going to talk an awful lot about one of those men. His name was Manly Beasley. And Brother Manly had a tremendous impact on my life and on my walk with God by faith. And he taught me about faith. And he taught me how to believe God and how to walk with God. And so as we start our journey tonight, for the next 7 weeks, the title is real simple. So, you want to walk with God by faith, huh? Well, let's just see. Because that was my first prayer after I got saved. I said, I want to walk with God by faith. You know, I mean, God has saved me by faith, and so I want to walk with God by faith. And I want to have this journey about faith. I want to walk with him by faith. Now, about a month after I got saved, Brother Manly came to our church for revival. And so he came into Eastwood Baptist Church for revival, and Brother Tom, our pastor, came to me, and he said, we're going to have a revival. I said, yeah, a revival. Great. What's a revival? That's when people come in, and they turn their hearts back to God. Well, I was still in revival. I didn't really know about revival. I was in revival. I was a brand-new Christian. I just got saved. I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, I'm ready to go here. And so we had this guy come in, and I said, what do you do at a revival? And he says, you preach on fire and brimstone. I said, fire and brimstone, yes. What's fire and brimstone? I don't know what that is either. And so I sit down, and this is my first revival. I've been a Christian for about 5 weeks, and this guy comes in, and he starts teaching about faith. And I'm sitting there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, it's flying over my head. I don't get it. I don't get it. Believe God, trust God, walk with God, pray and ask God, what in the world is this guy talking about? Now, he comes to me on Tuesday night, and here's what he says to me. He said, Brother Harry, Brother Tom has shared your testimony with me about how you got saved. I said, great. And he said, and then how 10 days after you got saved, you came and just knocked on the door of this church and came all the way down here from Connecticut. I said, yeah. And he said, you know, I believe God has given you a double portion of faith. And I smiled and I said, that's great, man. It's a double portion of faith. You know, you guys got all these terminologies that were killing me. And he said, I believe God's given you a double portion of faith. And I said, man, that is great. I appreciate that. At this point in time in my life, I'm ready to take whatever God has for me. And he looks at me and he asks me this question. He says, how are you enjoying the meeting so far? And I'm saying to myself, oh, man, how do you guys handle this? I knew only two things as a baby Christian. You could never have sex again, and you couldn't lie. Those were the only two things I knew for sure. And they made it very clear to me when I got there. Those were the two things you couldn't ever do again. And so I didn't understand, if you can't lie, well, if your rules, I'm a baby Christian, it's your rules. And so I just told the truth, and I've been doing that ever since. And so I looked at him and smiled, and I said, sir, you're about as exciting as watching paint dry. And he looked at me and he said, you know, tomorrow night, why don't you come back with your blessing box open, and let's see if we can't fill it. Now I got to find a blessing box. What in the world's a blessing box? So I went to Brother Tom and I said, does the Baptist bookstore carry blessing boxes? I got to get one before tomorrow night. And he said, no, you just come tomorrow night and God will provide the blessing box for you. And I came in that next night. It was Wednesday night. I sat down in my pew. I looked up. I hunkered down. I opened my Bible and he began to preach on faith again. And as he preached on faith, I just said, Lord, I don't get it. Will you help me to get it? And folks, that night, I got it. I got it. You say, man, what did you get? I got it, and it's this. It's not faith and works. It's a faith that works. It works. You can walk with God by faith. You can trust a holy God by faith. God is not some cosmic killjoy that sits up in this big world up here and wants you just to do the very best you can. No, he's a God that desires that you walk with him by faith. And so for the next 7 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about walking with God by faith. You're going to learn some things, hopefully, that will take you through when the first trial comes up. You're going to know how to respond to it by faith and what God desires. And so I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. And in Exodus chapter 2, we're going to begin by looking at the birth of Moses. And let me just read this to you very quickly. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put him in among the reeds along the Nile. And the sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Circumstances have a way of dictating to our life. Would you not agree with that? Circumstances can so dictate to our life. Circumstances can bring us to a time when we so struggle with what's going on in our own world. But I want you to know the circumstances of life today are happening so that God can cause you not only to be dependent on him, but your circumstances in life are coming so that you can learn how to walk with your Father by faith. Everything that happens into your life is coming and prompted by God so that you learn how to walk with him by faith. And so in Jim Cimbala's book, and you can turn to your little write-in thing and start following me along, in his book, Fresh Faith, he asked the question in chapter 3. He said, what moves the heart of God? And the answer is what? Faith. Faith is going to move the heart of God. Okay, then you've got to find this out. What's faith? What does it mean to have faith? One man says that faith is reason at rest with God. That's good. Reason at rest with God. Brother Manley used to say this, that faith is believing something so when it's not so, so God can make it so. Faith is believing something so when it's not so, so God can make it so. And when you walk with God by faith, you are believing something so when you cannot see it happening in your life, and then God is in the process of making it so. Now, that may sound a little tricky to y'all, but you think about that a little bit. Because if it was so, there'd be no need to what? Walk with God by faith. If God just laid everything out for you, there'd be no reason to trust Him. There'd be no reason to walk with Him by faith. So we find out that faith is the key that moves God out of heaven unto earth. Faith is the key. Now I'm going to go farther than that. God works according to our, and the fill-in is faith. God works according to our faith. Watch this. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I know you are. But I'm going to share with you in the Greek what this really means, that there's no confusion. Here's what it means. I've studied this one little thing. It means this. In the Greek, it means that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. It means exactly what it's saying there. Agreed? Agreed, thank you. And you pop in here if I say anything wrong. It's simply this. Faith, it's impossible to please God unless you walk with Him by faith. Now, would you not agree with me that we spend an awful lot of our time in this world trying to be pleasing to what? God. We spend a lot of time in our world trying to get God convinced that we love Him. And one of the things that you shared these last several weeks was rather than for me to spend all my time trying to convince God I love Him, why don't I just stop and allow God to love me? And when He loves me, it's because I've already responded to Him by faith. I've already responded to Him by faith. Now, it says the just shall live by what? Faith. So I'm here to tell you folks, watch this. Apart from faith, you cannot please God. Example, we're in a building fund. If you gave $1 million to the building fund but did not ask God, you sinned. You sinned. You say, why? Because what you did may be a great gesture, but it was not done by faith because you did not ask God what you're supposed to do. You simply went ahead and did what you thought you should do without inquiring God. It required no faith. You just went and did what you thought you should do. But what God says is the kind of faith that pleases Him is when we come to the faith life where we trust Him for what He wants to accomplish in our lives, and to find out what He's doing in our lives, we have got to get faith from earth to heaven and then back to earth when we find His will. But if we go to God and say, God, what is your will concerning my giving to the building program? And God says, I want you to give this number. And He speaks to you about that. When He does, watch this. When you respond to Him, He'll be pleased with your gift because you now have given it by faith because you've trusted what He's asked you to do. And so in every area of our life, have you noticed that we very seldom go to a holy God and ask Him what we should be doing in our life? We always go to Him when some big tragedy comes into our life, and then we inquire of Him what is His will for our lives, when all along God's saying, okay, child, you want to walk with me? Here's how to do it. You walk with me by faith, and I'll be pleased with you. You don't have to perform well to get my pleasure. You simply walk with me by faith, and you will have my pleasure, and I'll be well pleased with you. Now, there are three types of faith I want to talk to you about. Here's the first one. It's what I want to call intellectual faith. And this is what Brother Manley first taught me when I got to meet him. Intellectual faith says this: I believe in God. That's nothing more than mental assent. It is intellectual faith. I believe in God. Well, Satan believes in God, and he's going to hell. But he believes in God. The demons believe in God, but they're not going to make it to heaven. Agreed? So you can have intellectual faith and say, I believe in God. When I see these football players telling me, well, I just praise God, the man upstairs, all they're telling me is they know one thing, that they have intellectual faith. They believe there is a God. You can have intellectual faith and die and go to hell. You can have emotional faith. And here's emotional faith. Watch this. I don't want to go to hell. That's nothing more than emotional faith. I don't want, and if you ever heard anybody say they want to go to hell, yeah, going to hell, gonna burn like a cookie, yay, great. Love the smell of singeing hair. Hey, let's all go to hell. No, nobody wants to go to hell. So you can have intellectual faith, which says, I believe in God. You can say this, I have emotional faith, I don't want to go to hell, and still die and go to hell. Why? Because the faith that saves you, my friend, is called volitional faith. And by a choice of my will, I believe God. I take him at his word. And faith enables the believer to treat the future as present and the invisible as visible. How many of y'all are going to heaven one day? Is that future, or do you act like that's happened already? So we treat the future as what? Present. How many of y'all have seen God lately? But we treat the invisible as visible. To us, God is very visible. He may only be visible in my heart and in my mind. I mean, he may not be visible to me, visible, but we treat the invisible as though it was what? Visible. How are we able to do that? Because of volitional faith, where you have taken and placed all your trust. And you've gotten him from here to here. And so by faith, you've gone way beyond, I believe there's a God, I don't want to go to hell, to I'm absolutely trusting him by, say the word, faith to get me to where he wants me to be. Now, faith is not hoping, it's not sympathy, and it's not bargaining. Well, I made a bargain with God. You can't bargain with God. Well, I'm hoping. How many times have you heard that? Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, hope so doesn't count. It's not a hope so kind of faith. It's a no so kind of faith. Those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior have a no so kind of faith. We know what God has done. Now, faith inquires of God to get his will from heaven to earth, okay? So if I'm going to walk with God by faith, what's the first thing I have to do? I've got to inquire of God about my circumstance. So whatever my circumstance is, before I can respond by faith, I've got to know what he wants me to do. I can't just respond by faith without knowing what he wants me to do. So I must inquire of him. God, what is your will? Father, not my will, thy will be done. He inquired of his Father, knowing what the will was. Once he knew what the will was, he responded by what? Faith. He responded by faith. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is substance. It's the assurance or title deed. Faith is made up of three parts. Now watch this. Let me go back to that. Faith is substance. It's not some, I'm out here, I hope so, you know, maybe, I hope this turns. No, there is substance in faith. And our substance comes in three ways. Here's the first way. It's what I want to say is the content of faith. Who does faith trust? Say it. God. That substance. That is substance. It's putting its content in something that's trustworthy. Now, I don't know that I trust all of y'all in here. Why? I'm not sure you're worthy of trust yet. And there's a lot of things we don't trust because it doesn't show itself worthy of trust. But watch this. I trust Lynette Layden. Why? She's worthy of trust. She has shown herself faithful that I can trust her. So I can trust her. So there's content there, okay? And God, in the same way, there's content. How many times has he come through for you in the past? Is he not worthy of trust? So the content of faith says, my faith is in a holy God because there's some content here. He is trustworthy. Agreed. Now, the second thing is what I'm going to call the commitment of faith. Even when God is not telling us which one he's doing or what way he's choosing to take us, I can trust him. So that means this substance has to have some commitment to it. Abraham, get up from where you are, go to from Ur of the Chaldees to a land I'll show you when you get there. He had to be what? Committed to someone that was worthy of trust. And so he was committed by what? Faith to who? God. Now, why didn't God just say to him, now, when you get there, go to the promised land, and it's right over here. Go three, you know, go down to three stoplights, take a right, go 150,000 miles. It's right there. Why didn't he do that? Because if he had told him where to go, he would have focused on where he was going instead of God. In your faith walk, the commitment of your faith is trusting the one who's taking you there, not where you're going. If he told you and laid everything out in your life and said for you, okay, Rob McNamara, here's your schedule next week. Here's what I'm going to do. You would never leave the house if on a Tuesday something bad was going to happen. But when you are committed to God by faith and you have the commitment of faith, even if he takes us away, I don't want to go, delivering pizzas, I still can trust him. I still can trust him. Now, the third thing is what I call the choice of faith. Submission to him when everything inside us wants to run in fear. Because my choice is in submission. God, I trust you. Abraham had faith. He saw, he responded, he embraced. He saw the promise of God. The Bible says that he saw the Lord Jesus before the Lord Jesus even came. He saw it. He responded to it. He embraced it. In the walk of faith, we're not only to do those things, my friend, we must do those things if we're going to have the presence of God. And here's what I mean. You see the truth apart from your given situation. How many of y'all have been through the storms of life? What's the truth about those? I'll never leave you or forsake you. Agreed? So when you see even the problems of life, you may stop and by faith trust the Holy God, even though you can't see how this is going to turn out, you know it's going to turn out for your good. Why? Because you've seen it. And now you embrace it. Let me give you an example of this. A little over 3 years ago, I got a call that a friend of mine, David Moss, had had a heart attack. I got in my car, and I want you to know, folks, you never heard anybody in your life pray harder in faith than I did making that trip to the hospital. I called out to God with every bit of my essence, with every bit of faith that I had in my life. Nobody could have prayed a greater prayer of faith than I prayed getting to that hospital. I prayed with the urgency and the trust of a holy God, and when I got there, he was dead. Was the problem with my faith? No. Because even though God was now taking me away, I didn't want to go, I could see the essence of faith that even though David wasn't here, I'd see him again. And even though in my heart I knew I would miss him, I could still focus on what God was doing. It's not that I didn't have enough faith. I come to the place where the result of my faith is this, not what I get, who I'm trusting. It didn't matter really how this turned out. What mattered was, who was I going to trust? And if it didn't turn out the way I wanted, it doesn't mean that God failed, and it certainly doesn't mean I don't have enough faith. Brother Manley was very sick, very sick man. He had 4 terminal illnesses. You know, people would come to him and say, if you just had more faith, I believe God could heal you. And he looked at them and laughed. He said, how ridiculous a statement that is. Healing has nothing to do with my faith. It has everything to do with the sovereignty of God. And if God chooses to take me away, I don't want to go. That's the faith walk. Just because I didn't get what I prayed for doesn't mean that God has missed the walk of faith. Because the walk of faith is not what you're supposed to get. It's the way you're supposed to walk. Don't you see? And so as we're walking with him by faith, we have to trust that he's able to do that. Now, struggles come because we know how to believe in God, but few folks ever learn how to believe God. Now, there's a tremendous difference between believing in God and believing God. Every one of us in here believe in God. Agreed? But here comes my question. What are you believing God for right now? What are you so believing God that if he doesn't come through for you right now, you're sunk? See, you can believe in God, but never get around to believing God. We believed in God that he could give us enough money to build a building. But right now, we're believing God that he's going to finish what he what? Started. So we've gone past believing in God to believing God. Now, let me tell you how I learned this. When I was traveling with Brother Manley, he used to challenge me all the time about my faith. And John, I used to travel and do music with him, and we'd get to revivals, and he looked at me and he'd say this to me, what do you believe in God for this week? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm believing God that we're going to have a great meeting and God's going to bless. He goes, no, son, I'm asking you, what are you so trusting God for this week financially that if he doesn't come through, there's no way to get around what your needs are? What do you believe in God for? And I was at a church with him down in Texas. And when we got there, he called me and invited me to come. And when I got there, I had a $900 need that week. And I got in there and he said, what do you believe in God for? And I said, I'm believing God for $900 this week. He said, son, you got more faith than I do. This church doesn't run 700 like I told you. It only runs 150. And right now, there's no way in the world that this church can give you a $900 offering. The last time 2 people came here, they gave the both of them a little over $800. So you better go back and ask God again. I said, there's no need to ask him again. I wasn't the one who initiated the $900 vision. God was. And so I'm taking God at his word, and God began to speak to me. That was what I'm supposed to trust him for. Well, I got a call from the people that we buy our tapes from, and they changed their policy. You couldn't buy tapes and then pay for them. They wanted it in advance. And so I had to send them a $300 check that week. So I went back to Brother Manley and said, you're right, I missed God. He goes, how'd you miss God? I said, I need $1,200 this week. I missed God. And he started laughing. He got up one night in front of those folks. He says, I want to know something, right? That boy's got more faith than all of you. And he's believing God this week for an offering that you all have no ability to give him. And he started laughing. Now, when it came time for to give us the love offering, they counted it up. We got to that Wednesday night, and we had 2 envelopes. We had Harry's envelopes. We had Manley's envelopes. And the way we did that was because Manley did not want me getting any of his money should God decide to bless him that week. So we had 2 separate envelopes. So God, if God wanted to give him $50,000, I wouldn't get 40% of it. So we had 2 separate envelopes. And so they gave that offering this week, and the pastor came to the Pope, and here's what he said. This is the largest love offering our church has ever given. And Brother Harry, here is your offering. It's $1,251. And I said, you know, the Lord wants me to take that $51 and eat real good as I travel home. And he said, Brother Manley, here's your check for $995. And you see, God initiated the walk of faith, and I had to learn how to believe God. I'm with Brother Manley another time, and he said to me, what do you believe in God for? And we were here in Tulsa at a church doing a meeting. And I stopped and I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm not believing him for anything. He goes, good, because I don't want you to be disappointed when nothing is what you get. Now, I'm not talking about you naming it and claiming it. Do you understand the difference? There's a group of folk today that name it and they claim it and they put God in a box and they think God has got to bow to their faith. I'm talking about God initiates something in your life and you, by faith, take God at his word and you believe him. And you believe him. And so you walk with him because of what he's initiated. And so Manley sent me home that night and he said, you pray and you ask God now what you're supposed to believe him for. And so I got home that night and I began to pray and I said, God, speak to me. And I'm going to show you in a minute how he does that. And he began to speak to me. And God very clearly in the word spoke to me that night and he showed me three things I was supposed to believe him for. We were all praying at the altar before the service and he looked at me and goes, son, what do you believe in God for? I said, let me tell you what God has initiated. Number one, God said to me, I'm to trust him that he will get a car to me, because my car had 200 and something thousand miles on it, that God's going to provide a car for me without me going one dime into debt. And I'm believing God for that, because God's asked me to believe him for that. Number two, I'm going to not quit singing, but I'm not just going to sing anymore. God has laid it on my heart and showed me that he's calling me to preach, not just sing. And God wants me to believe him for preaching. And number three, God wants me to trust him that he will show me who my wife would be. Those were the three things God laid on my heart to trust him for. Now that night I went to the altar before church and I laid myself before that altar. And here's what I said to God. God, I'm so trusting you for those three things. If you don't come through, I'm sunk. And I'm not telling anybody outside of Brother Manley what those needs are. I'm not going to say a word to a single person about those needs. And Father, I'm going to test this business of believing God, because God, I believe you have initiated this conversation. And God, if I've missed the conversation, then don't provide these things for me, and you and I will be the only ones who will know it, because God, I'm trusting you have so spoken to me about this that I'm to believe God. Do you see the difference? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He just didn't believe in God and go off and do his thing. He believed God. And as he believed God, it was counted for him as righteousness. And so that night, I knelt at that altar and said, God, I'm believing you for a car. And God, I'm believing you that you're going to let me preach. And I'm believing you for a wife. And I got up and I looked around and I said, God, I'm so trusting you for a wife tonight, I'd marry a stranger. That was my prayer. I'm so trusting you tonight, I would marry a stranger. And I looked over there and there was a girl with brown hair over there, Auburn brown hair. I said, Lord, see that girl over there? I'd marry her. I don't even know her, but I didn't pick any ugly girl out while I was doing this, by the way. I said, Lord, I'd marry that girl right there. I don't even know who she is, but I'd marry her. And that night after the service, I met that girl, and her name was Lynette. Now you're saying, don't say, God did not say to me that night I was going to marry Lynette. He did not say that. But I was so trusting him that I looked at that girl and I said, I'd be willing to marry her. Now, I'd have been willing to marry her if God hadn't initiated it. And I'm not sitting here saying, God said you're going to marry her. He did not say that to me. But he knew in my heart I was so trusting him that if he didn't come through for that prayer, I was sunk. And we got to meet, we started to hang out together, and we got to be friends, and I began to pray. And I went to Lynette one night, and I said, I believe God wants us to be more than friends. And she said, Harry, you're just one of the neatest guys I've ever met. You're so much fun. I just think you're so neat. I would not marry you if you were the last guy in the world. And so I told her, when God changes your heart, to call me. When God changes your heart, call me. And we got to be friends for what? About a year and a half. And I went away to Connecticut, and she would say to me, "You're just fun. I love being with you." God's not changed my heart. Not. And I was away for 8 weeks. I came back after 8 weeks. And while I was gone, I began to pray. And I said, "Lord, if Lynette is your will for my life, then you'll have to show me that, and you'll have to show her that. And if she's not, don't wreck our friendship." Amen. Well, after 8 weeks, I came back, and Lynette handed me this little card. And on the card, it said, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you're home." Because I was doing a revival, and it was one of these revivals, John, where I got to do one hymn, one solo, sit down, and some guy preached for an hour and a half. I got to do two songs a night. That was the worship time. And Lynette said, "I'm just so proud of you, because anyone else would have pitched a fit after doing one song, and that was it." But on that card, she says, "I'm real proud of you. Love, Lynette." And so I went to her and I said, "What does love, Lynette, mean?" See, I don't say love, Lynette, the people I'm friends with. What does that mean? And Lynette looked at me that night. She goes, "Harry, God's double-crossed me." But see, when it came time to marry Lynette, I had to believe God. And watch this. When it came time for her to marry me, you get it? She had to believe God. Because she wasn't perfect then. She had a lot of changing to do. Don't you see? Page 2. God is the one who initiates faith, people. When you walk with God by faith, you must seek God and you must adjust to what God is doing. And the adjustment comes by faith when we are totally dependent on a holy God. So faith is coming to the place of complete reliance, putting your entire weight on the person of Jesus Christ. "Lord Jesus, if you don't come through, I'm sunk. I'm sunk, God." David, did you ever pray that prayer when you were delivering pizzas? "God, if you don't come through, I'm sunk." Terry, when the bills have to come in every month in your faith ministry, do you ever have to pray the prayer, "God, if you don't come through, I'm sunk"? Have you ever had to pray that prayer? Because, my friend, when God is initiating faith and you adjust to Him and there's complete reliance on Him, then faith is dependence on God, the whole man rightly related to God. Faith is hearing and responding to God to accomplish the work of grace in the life of all believers. How are you saved? By grace through. Then how should you live? By grace through faith. If He saves you by grace through faith, then you should live by grace through faith. You have to have the grace to walk with God, because we're going to fail, and you walk with Him by faith. We get saved by grace through faith, and then we spend the rest of our time trying to please God with our works. Don't we? And then we try to convince God that our works are really good looking. And God says, "No, you're saved by grace through faith, and now I'm using the faith walk to allow you to receive the grace that you need to walk with me by faith. And once I give you the grace and faith, then you are to walk with me by grace through faith." So here comes the question. If God's initiating, how do I know God's speaking? And I want to share with you very quickly how we know God's speaking. And you have it on your little sheet right here. Number one, God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Word. "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The unfolding of your Word gives life. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating the dividing line, judging the very thoughts and the purpose of heart." So God speaks to us through His what? Word. How are you saved? By grace through faith. How do you know that? His Word tells us. "I'll never leave you, forsake you." How can you hold on to that promise? How do you hold on to that promise? By faith. Because God has spoken to you in through his what? Word. So now watch this. If we live by the promises of God, because he speaks to us through the word, watch it now, he will continue to speak to you through the word now. Those promises aren't just for the people who wrote the Bible. They're for us today. God still speaks through his word. Example, when it came time to marry Lynette, I would not marry her until God spoke to me in the word. Why? What if it went bad? Then, like the world, you know what I could say? Well, hey, I miss God. Hey, this wasn't God's will. I must have missed God. No, I had a word. And when God said, marry that girl, it didn't take a whole lot of faith on my part. It took an awful lot of faith on her part because I was able to take God at his word. Watch this. This gets better. I didn't come on staff here at Liberty Church until God gave me a word. Why? Because working on staff with people isn't always easy. Ask these guys. They have to work with me all the time. Is this always easy? No, it's not always easy. Are there times when you guys want to quit? Are there times you want to walk away from this whole thing? There are times you want to quit counseling people? Why do you do it? Because God told us in the Word to do it. When I went into the ministry, I went into the ministry because God said it. I came forward on January 1st, 1979. I took my pastor by the hand. I said, Brother Tom, God's calling me into ministry. And he said, how do you know it? I just feel it. He goes, well, you better go home and ask him again. I said, don't you think God's called me? He said, no, but your feelings will change. You've got to have something you can stand on. That's why God's given you the word, so you can take his word and let him speak it to you, and then by faith you can believe God about what he's telling you in the word. Don't you see? By what he's telling you in the word. Now, when I came time to come on staff at Liberty, here's how God spoke to me. He spoke to me in Genesis and Exodus, and he told me the story of Joseph. And as I was reading about the story of Joseph, God began to speak to me, number two, through my spirit. And in my spirit, he says, you are going to come alongside the same way John has, and the same way Rob has, and the same way the other staff members have. You're all going to be a bunch of Josephs working for Pharaoh. You're going to come alongside Pharaoh. And you're going to be able to do anything you want, but you got to be accountable to Pharaoh. That's why I knew God hadn't called me to be the pastor here. He called me to come alongside for Brother Paul to be his Joseph. I took him at his word. I believed him. And when times get tough in the future and everything inside you wants to leave the ministry or quit, you can stop and say, no, God has said. And I took him at his word, and I believed God. And he speaks through my spirit. Because when it came time to go on staff, my spirit said, hey, this is right. He speaks through our authorities. I said, Lynette, what do you think about this? She's an authority in my life now. I went to my father-in-law, because I've given him authority status, haven't I? And when I have to make decisions, I go to him. If I have to make a decision today that concerns my future, I will go to my pastor. Why? He's my authority. I will go to my wife. She's an authority. And God speaks through our authorities, and he speaks through our circumstances. The other day, I was playing with Andrew, and I tore a tendon in my heel. And it hurt like crazy. Did I have to get up the next morning and pray, now, Lord, is it your will for me to call Dr. Stanley and ask him why this thing is throbbing, turning black and blue and hurting? No, God was speaking very clearly through my circumstances. But watch this, people, and here's where we miss out on God. When God speaks, the word, spirit, authority, and circumstances all have to line up. They got to line up. I had a guy come to me one time, Phil. Here's what he said to me. Well, I feel real good in my spirit about leaving my wife. This marriage isn't any good. Look at the circumstances. They're terrible. I've even talked to some of my friends who are authorities in my life, and they agree this is a good thing. So my spirit, the authorities, and my circumstances are all telling me divorce. And I said, but the Word says no. And so when someone comes to you and says, hey, I feel pretty good about this. Wait a minute. What's the Word say about it? And the promises of God, we can take God at His Word. The Bible isn't just a roadmap to heaven. It's a book that tells us how we're to live while we're making the trip. And in that book, He says the only way to please Him is to walk with Him by faith. And sometimes you have to believe something so when it's not so, so God can make it so. John, y'all made a tape. Probably didn't have all the money right up front. You believed it so. God's kind of told you guys to go to England. So you're believing that so. Is it so right now? No. But by faith, you are believing it so when it's not so, waiting on God to make it so, because you're walking with Him by, say it, faith. Because who's initiated this faith walk? God. And God is looking right now to initiate faith in all of our lives, that He might initiate this faith in our lives so that we'll respond to what He's doing by faith, don't you see? And so we walk with God and we trust God by faith. Now, let me say one more thing, and then I'm going to save that sheet. We'll have to finish it next week. As I'm dealing with God, Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will. That's what the psalmist says. I delight to do your will. So here's my question. Lord, what do you have for me to do? Lord, what do you have for me to do? And the answer to that is Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will. And so what we're saying to God is, not what should I do, what should I do? That's a real arrogant kind of statement. What should I do? I used to pray that, John, when I'd get up to preach. Lord, I pray you'd bless me. Lord, what do you want me to say to these people? Lord, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? What should I do here, God? And God's saying, you've missed what this is all about. It's not about you at all. The question becomes, God, what do you want to do here tonight? I will adjust to you. And I will adjust to you by faith as you speak to me through the Word, through the Spirit, through my authorities, through my circumstances. One final story. A little over a year, maybe almost two by now, I lose track of time in stories. We had been on staff at a church, and 2 years went by, and we weren't on staff, and we were back in full-time evangelism. And in that period of 2 years before we came here at Liberty, we lost $40,000 in income. And because of that, we had some debt, about $10,000 worth of debt. So here was my thinking. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to refinance the house. We'll take that money. We'll pay our bills. We'll be out of that. We'll be out of that. Okay? But I didn't ask who. God. And so I went to pray, and I opened the Word. And what was one of the things the Word said to me? Here's what the Word said. Owe no man nothing. See, God doesn't want me to be in debt. I'm doing this. I'm going to do this. What did my spirit say? I'm sick of being in debt. What were my circumstances saying? Golly, debt's bad. And I went to Lynette and said, I'm going to refinance the house. What do you think? She goes, I don't feel good about that. Well, you're just going to have to seek the face of God. You know, I've got the Word. I got the Spirit. I got the circumstance. Now, come on, line up with me here, baby. And all along she says, well, if that's what you think we should do, that'd be fine. But I don't think we should do that. And you know, every time I would ask her about this, she'd always say the same thing. I'll do whatever you say, but I don't really think we should do that. So what was happening now? My authorities started sneaking up on my spirit. And my authorities started saying, what? Mm-mm. And so my spirit stopped and said, why is she eating when I'm not eating? I'm for doing this. And I stopped and we came back. And I said, because you're not in agreement on this, I'm not going to do it. And something happened, I think, that same day. I backed out of the driveway, and let me give you a little hint here. Don't come to my house and park in my driveway if I've got to get out. I'm going to hit your car. It's a guarantee. Everyone who parks in my driveway when I'm backing out, wham, I hit them. Why? I can't see. I turn around and I can't see. So I take the mirror off her parents' car. And I come back in, and now I'm under this stress of debt. I'm under this stress that my wife's not hearing from God. I'm under all this stress, and now I got this thing in my hand. I walk in, and I begin to cry, didn't I? I just began to cry, and I just left. I drove out and didn't hit him the second time. There was plenty of room. Drove down the road. About 20 minutes went by. My cell phone rang. It's Lynette, and she says, you need to come home. Mom and Dad want to talk to you. And I'm saying, oh, great. Go back to the in-laws with the thing in her hand, and I got to get them reading me the riot act about how come they cannot park where the line is. They parked on my side, and I know it. And so I go back, and they said, we asked Lynette what's going on with the two of you, and they shared with us what's going on. And she said, we had placed some money in a savings account for Lynette about a year ago. We sold some land, and we put money for each one of our kids in a savings account. And there's $10,000 in that savings account, and if you guys want to use it, you can. See, and I just jumped out and tried to do God's will my way without inquiring of God. And if all four didn't line up, I'd have just gone out and refinanced my house, got deeper in debt, paid my bills, and I would have missed what God was initiating with the walk of faith. Now, to get the walk of faith where God wanted it to go, I had to take my in-laws' mirror off. So that does not mean the walk of faith is always going to be easy or fun. Sometimes it's going to be very, very difficult of a walk. Because you have to believe God when everything inside you wants to run and do it yourself. But if you learn to inquire of God through the Word, Spirit, authorities, circumstances. Watch this, friend. God will speak. Because God is the one who is doing all of the initiating in this business called faith. And God wants us to walk with faith with Him more than we really do want to walk with God by faith. Faith pleases God. And He would not ask you to walk with Him by something that He was not willing to tell you what it is you were to believe Him for. So what are you believing God for right now? When was the last time you got on your face before God and say, here are my circumstances, I'm believing you. God, what are you initiating here that will cause me to walk with you by faith? We're going to finish this. This looks like now it's going to be an 8-week session because I wasn't able to get to the other stuff. So save your paper. We'll finish that next week, and we'll continue on this thought. Father God, thank you for our time tonight. Thanks for loving us. Father, continue to help us to hear from you on what it is you're initiating in our lives that we might believe you, God, and then follow you with a walk of faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you all.